Hello everyone, this is Mike Quimsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Richard Blackstone. He has recently written a book called Nuts and Bolts Spirituality, which he self-published. He talks of waking up the sleepwalkers, and he has a three-part message which we shall hear about during the program. Welcome, Richard. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Mike, and I'm glad to be here.
That's great. Perhaps we can ask you straight away to tell us about your book, and in particular, about the three-part message that it carries.
I'd love to. Yeah, my book is called Nuts and Bolts Spirituality, and the subtitle is Waking Up the Sleepwalkers, and there's a real reason for that subtitle is because I was pretty much a sleepwalker for the first 40 years of my life or so, so I really know what that style of living is all about.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically when I was sleepwalking, you know, I thought that life was just kind of happening to me, and I just kind of had to react to it as it came along. And I didn't get the connection between, you know, what I was thinking and what was happening in my life. And so I had a lot of good experiences, a lot of, you know, not so good, and a lot of frustration in between, as a lot of us have experienced in this journey. And then, you know, when I was in my early 40s, and, you know, Mike, that's kind of, I was thinking about the other day, it's like, you know, isn't that the midlife crisis time? You know, it seems to be the traditional thing. But anyway, I had a synchronistic event that happened to me and was able to kind of wake up to myself and begin this journey, this spiritual journey that I'm on today, that has really taken me to places that I didn't even know existed before. So it's just been a wonderful journey, and the book came out of it, and it's been a lot of fun.
Right. How long ago did this adventure happen?
Well, it was about, yeah, about 15, 20 years ago when, I'll tell you, I can kind of almost tell you my wake-up call. It was, you know, even though I was sleepwalking, you know, Mike, I still had this thing inside of me that we all do, and I'm sure everybody on this call has it inside them, and it's this this thing called we want to improve our lives, you know, because
yeah.
I was always trying to improve my life, trying to make a life a little better. And, of course, what I defined that as at that time was to make more money, you know, and but it didn't matter because I was still trying to improve my life. And so as I was doing that, you know, kept being guided by my inner guides, even though I didn't know about them at that time. And a friend of mine called me up, and he says, hey, Richard, why don't you turn on the TV and listen to this fella that's talking? And so I turned on the tube, and it was one of those PBS fundraisers, you know, and
yeah.
I just love those things. And and it was a fella named Deepak Chopra, and he was talking about a book he had written called The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success.
Right.
And I'll tell you, Mike, how clueless I was. I had no idea who Deepak Chopra was. Didn't have a clue.
Right.
But I listened to that that TV show, and, you know, it just, everything he said made sense. It just resonated with me so much. And I didn't know it at the time, but those were my first little baby steps on this spiritual path that I'm walking today. And, you know, it didn't hit me like a ton of bricks or anything. It basically, my life seemed pretty much the same, but I was motivated enough to go out and buy the book.
Yeah.
And then I read the book, and then I read the book again. Then I read the book again, and I read it again.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not a real big book, so it's pretty easy to do. But
yeah.
The seven spiritual laws, they just resonated with me and made so much sense to me. And I said to myself, you know, I'm going to start incorporating some of this stuff into my life and see what happens.
Yeah.
And the more I did that, the more I found that I was, you know, really waking up. And I really started working on suppressing my ego, because what I found out was that the more I was able to suppress my ego, the clearer life became to me.
Right.
You know, I finally started seeing the parts of life's puzzle start to fit together.
Yeah.
So I knew something was happening, and I was really pleased with it. And I just told myself, you know, I'm going to follow this this spiritual path and see where it takes me. And it has taken me to places I didn't even know existed before. And So it's quite an adventure, and it's ongoing, and that's the beauty of waking up to your true self, is you get to discover this unbelievable world that's the same world that you've been living in, but when you see it from a different perspective, everything changes right before your very eyes. So it's pretty exciting.
Yes, carry on. Are you still there?
Yeah, fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clip in there, just mention something. I recently saw for the first time 10 Easy Living Rules by Deepak Chopra.
Uh-huh.
And I'm suspecting that you probably have seen them, and some of those may well be included in the Seven Spiritual Laws. But can you tell us about any particular ones of those laws that have really made a deep impression on you?
Well, you know, the one that really comes to mind right now, as soon as you said that, was the law of effortless living. You know, that life is really effortless. And, you know, when you're sleepwalking, you don't believe that at all. You know, you certainly think that life is a struggle because that's the way it is for you. And, you know, basically, we've all been conditioned to believe that it's a struggle because of our basic conditioning from birth that says we're all separate from each other. And because of that belief system, you have to believe that you have to fend for yourself. And, you know, it's kind of a jungle out there, and you have to believe in the law of the survival of the fittest. And when you wake up to yourself, when you wake up to the aspect of your being that says, you know, that we're not all separate, that basically we're all one in the big scheme of things, then that paradigm shift allows you to see that life truly is effortless. I mean, we're just like nature. We're just another part of nature. And you know, the trees don't struggle to grow, and the grass doesn't struggle to come up through the ground. Everything in nature is effortless, and we, as part of nature, have the same capacity to live an effortless life, but it's entirely a choice. And the choice is really dependent on what's your belief system. You know, if you believe that life is easy, then it will be easy, and if you believe it's a struggle, then by golly, it is a struggle. I know, I've seen both sides, and I go for the easy part right now.
Yeah. I think we probably see nature as something that, as long as we don't interfere it, although we can help it along, actually works in perfect harmony. And I guess what you're saying here is that we, as the human race, could achieve that if we tried and were really aware of our true place in this society.
Absolutely. You know, we as a collective basically have created the world that we're living in today. And we as a collective can change it in any way that we desire. But the way that we're going to do that is we have to change ourselves individually first. Because as I mentioned a little earlier, you know, we're conditioned from birth to believe in the separation mentality, which is basically based in a fear-based way of looking at life.
Yeah.
And what we need to do individually is shift to a more of a love-based paradigm of life that stems from the idea that we're all one. And when you start believing in the idea that we're all one, then you come to understand that what you do for another, you're doing for yourself.
Exactly,
and what you do for yourself, you're doing for all others. And it's a beautiful philosophy. It's basically the golden rule that we were all taught, you know, when we were kids. But when you put it into practice and actually live that way, then life changes right in front of your very eyes. It's a dramatic shift.
What goals do you see that we should create, or should aim for, rather, to create a better world?
Well, you know, obviously, one of the things that everybody would like to see is peace, you know. And there's two types of peace, of course. There's inner peace, and then there's world peace. And, you know, the only way that you can achieve peace is by being peaceful. And so it all starts with the individual. Here's one of my mantras that that I use quite a bit, is that beingness creates doingness.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're kind of conditioned to believe that we got to, you know, focus on what we're doing, make sure we're doing hard work and reaching our goals. But basically, when you wake up to your authentic self, you start making a change, and you start focusing in on who are you being. because your beingness determines what you're going to be doing. So if you want peace in your life, then be peaceful. You know, it's just like Gandhi said so many years ago, be the change that you wish to see in the world. You know, if you want more love in your life, then be more loving yourself.
Yes.
You know, if you want more abundance in your life, then give abundance to others. It's a very simple formula, and it absolutely works because that's the way the universe works. Your beingness is the key.
That, of course, is one part of your three-part message, isn't it, when you said love is who we are.
Oh, yes, Michael, my three-part message. You know, when I got on this spiritual path, I kept seeking clarity on where I wanted to kind of go, because, you know, I didn't know exactly where I was going to be heading. You know, it was a whole new adventure for me. So I was real excited about it, and I kept seeking clarity on what is it that I need to focus on. And the more I sought clarity on this spiritual journey, the more was brought to me that, you know, I need to kind of focus on this three principles that are just immutable laws that kept circling around every mentor I met and every bit of knowledge that I picked up along the way. It kept going back to these three basic principles, so I said, well, these are the three things that I'm going to live my life by and thereby be a messenger of spirit. And so the three things that I live my life by are, first, that love is who we really are. And that's, of course, based because the source of our existence is love, and we are all part of the source. So love at your core is who you are. And then the second part is that we're all one. You know, especially at our highest consciousness, we all know that we're all one with the source. But, you know, there's also documentation that actually physically we're all really connected to each other. You know, just through the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat, and the sun that bathes us every day, we're all connected in a very physical sense. And also, the third part is that we are all here to create our lives in any manner that we choose. You know, that's kind of our mission here on planet Earth, is to create experiences in our lives that we want to experience. So it's a pretty neat mission. And when you wake up to that fact, then you start creating your experiences consciously, and gosh, then life just turns into a joyful, fun event.
Right.
Yeah.
So that really answers the question, I think, that you posed on one of your three websites, where you suggested that we should ask ourselves why we are here.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's critical. It is the absolute main question of your whole life. You know, don't just think you're going to answer it in one setting, because you don't. It's an eternal question. Who are you? Keep asking that question, because life is a process, and it keeps changing in front of you. You know, even your truth change, you know, all the time. So keep asking the question, and as you do that, what happens is the law of attraction kicks in. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people have seen The Secret, and the law of attraction is just so integral in everybody's life.
Absolutely.
And what it basically says is that you bring into your life that which you put your attention on. So if you keep focusing on this idea of who am I, then the universe has no recourse but to keep bringing you data and information that will answer that question. And boy, is that an exciting search! I mean, it's the quest of all time, and so your journey. If you just keep that question as part of your journey, it'll just be a fun thing for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking here at what must be your spiritual background, and knowing that you were attracted to Neil Donald Walsh's God books.
Yes.
Do you actually believe we have infinite life, and that we do indeed come back in a whole series of lives that gradually help us to evolve?
Well, you know, we're infinite beings.
Yes.
And I love that aspect of my beings. And, you know, when you're sleepwalking, you oftentimes are led to believe that, you know, you have this one life on Earth, and basically you're supposed to conform to the rules. That is totally you know, antithesis to when you wake up and start living from a love-based paradigm. When you understand who you really are, you have this clear, very clear knowledge that you are an infinite being. And because of that, you know, there never really is this thing called death. You basically change form. So you can go from being a physical being to a non-physical being, but you are eternal being, just like your source, because you are part of the source. And with that revelation alone just transforms your life. Yeah, and it's just a lot easier to live life when you know that, well, you know, I may have a physical death, but this being that I am is eternal. So it's...
Yeah. I think you also posed the question, or put forward the idea as to why God created the universe. Now, you clearly have some opinions about that, but what are they exactly?
Well, Mike, this is really another one of my main things. I give extensive talk on this, and it's critical to the understanding of who you really are, because, you know, we've all kind of known about this idea that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You know, we all know Genesis 1:1. But my question, and I always like to go to the esoteric kind of ideas. I just love esoteric thinking, and so I thought, well, you know, that's nice that he or she created the heavens and the earth, but my question is, why? You know, why did this thing called God, this source of all existence, why did it create the universe in the first place? What was its reasoning? Yeah. I mean, wasn't it happy where it was? And so I put a lot of attention on that, and the same thing. The law of attraction kicked in, and I kept being guided to answers that kept moving me towards clarity on that burning question of why did this thing called God create the universe in the first place?
Yeah.
And what I was led to understand is that, you know, prior to the creation of the universe, obviously there was some other realm that this source lived in, and came to understand that that would be kind of known as the realm of the absolute, you know, where God is the only thing that exists, and the only thing that, you know, God is unconditional love. So basically, in the realm of the absolute, everything that is unconditional love. But,
right.
You know, that's a single concept. It's a oneness of the oneness. And when you're in the realm of the absolute, that's all there is. You know, that's all there is unconditional love. And so God's desire, or the source's desire, was to experience all that she knew. And, of course, the only way you can experience something is to also know what the experience is not.
Yeah.
And so God created this beautiful universe of relativity, because you can only experience something by knowing what it also is not. So we created this universe of duality and relativity, where there's a love, unconditional love is on one end of the duality scale, and then, of course, in order to experience love, you have to know what love is not. So fear, the opposite of love, is on the other end of the scale. So by experiencing and having experiences that are based in fear, you can know what love is. And it's just an awesome symmetry of the beauty of this magnificent creation. It just blows me away every time I think about how neat it is that we get to live in this world of relativity, where we can experience, and basically here we are, what we're doing is experiencing unconditional love in all of its different perspectives, including the perspective of fear. So isn't that awesome? I mean, every experience that we have is basically we're taking another little peek at unconditional love from an entirely different perspective, and it's infinite. So it's really exciting, and it's never-ending. That's why life
Absolutely,
is so beautiful. Yeah. It just continually changes and unfolds before you as you create whatever you desire through your thoughts.
Yeah. You made an interesting comment. I think it was on your website where I read it, and you said that you believe there are no accidents or coincidences in life. That would be an interesting thought.
Oh, yeah.
Can you explain that?
Absolutely. You know, because, you know, my three-part principles are love is who we are, we're all one, and we're all here to create the lives of our intentions and desires. And that last part, the fact that we are all the creators of our lives is really critical, because everything that's happened in your life has happened because you created it. Now, this takes away this concept that, you know, you're not responsible for what happens in your life, because when you understand that you are the ultimate creator of your life and nobody else, then you also have to understand that everything that happens in your life happened because you created it. So there are no coincidences or circumstances. Basically, everything that happens in your life is a collaboration between you and the universe. And it happens this way, Mike. Basically, everything starts with a thought. You know, your thoughts are the genesis of everything that happens in your life.
Yes.
So everything that you've ever created in your life first started out as a thought. And that thought, because we live in a realm of space and time, often takes a little time to manifest into your physical reality. And that's another beautiful part of this journey on planet Earth, is these elements of space and time and manifesting into physicality, those things that come out of your thoughts. It's truly an amazing collaboration between the seen and the unseen. I like to reckon it to, you know, being on the stage of a Shakespearean theater. You know, basically Shakespeare told us once that all the world is a stage and we're but players on the stage of life. And that really resonates with me, because each one of us, you know, is not only the star of our own show, but we are also the script writers and the directors, and we're also the casting directors. So everybody that comes into your life, you've kind of brought them into your life in some way, shape, or form, and they are part of, you know, and you are part of their play also. So, Mike, when we got together, you know, when we started conversing and decided to do this show together, it's the same thing. You know, we co-created this experience together. Now, isn't that exciting?
Yes.
I think so, and everybody that's listening to these words, you know, you're not here by coincidence.
No.
You know, I don't know how you're listening to these. You know, maybe somebody told you to, you know, just listen to Mike Quincy sometimes. He's really good, or something. Something happened, and you're listening to these words right now, but you're listening because you created the fact that you need to hear something that's happening today. And it's a gift, and you know, part of my message, of course, is gratitude. So you should be grateful for everything that happens in your life, because basically you created
it. Interesting. Now, I read on your website that you're actually creating a new one at this time called Create One Love. Would you care to tell us what you're aiming to do on that particular website?
Yes, that one, I'm going to finally create a blog. I've got some mentors, you know, that said, you got to have a blog. You know how I got that, Mike, the Create One Love logo, you know, because my principles are love is who you are, you know, and we're all one, and we're all here to create. And I kept, you know, playing with that, and I thought, oh, wow, look at that. If I turn it around, then I've got Create One Love. And the more I said it, I said, you know, that's me. That is me. And, of course, you know, I created that through thought, and the universe kept bringing it to me, and finally I woke up and said, okay, I got it. Now, and I just love it. Create One Love basically tells my message in a nutshell, and so I'm really excited about this website, and I hope to have it up in like about a week. So you guys write a little note out there, www.createonelove, and check it out in about a week, and it'll be up and running, and I'm really excited about it. Thanks for doing that, Mike.
One of your up-and-running sites, I'm sure it must have the longest name ever recorded, is Who You Really Are and Why You Are Here.com.
Yes.
Now, I gather that's an e-book, isn't it, that people can download?
Yes, it is. It's an e-book, and it's a fascinating e-book because, you know, listen to the title. who you really are and why you are here. .com.
Yeah.
It's the best ebook I've written so far. I'm really proud of it. So it's fantastic, a little read, and it's just jam-packed with easy to understand concepts that just help you understand even more clear why we're here, who we really are, and you know, we are so much more than we believe ourselves to be. And when you start acknowledging the unbelievable magnificence of your being, then all of a sudden this magnificent being starts unfolding before you, and life transforms. Just, you know, it's truly fantastic to keep walking this path of understanding. You know, all the great avatars told us kind of the same thing. They said really the single biggest problem with humanity is ignorance. And you know, that they weren't saying that, you know, people were stupid. What they're saying is that people just didn't have an understanding of who they really are. Because if they did, you know, then they wouldn't believe in this idea of separation, or the idea that, you know, you have to fend for yourself. Because when you understand who you really are, you understand that you're just part of a big, you know, source of energy and intelligence, and you can tap into that energy and intelligence at any time and manifest whatever you desire into your experience and make this life experience one of total joy.
It puts you on the correct path, doesn't it, where your energy is put to good use and not actually wasted.
Yes, yes, exactly. So it's just so much more fun. And you know, my big deal in life is to have fun. You know, even when I was sleepwalking, basically my main priority was to have fun. Because I kind of subscribe to this religion called hedonism. Have you ever heard of that, Mike?
Yeah,
well, I was pretty self-absorbed. But, you know, but my deal was, I thought, well, you know, I'm here on this life adventure, and, you know, I'm going to have fun at it. And so I did a lot of fun things. But, you know, my driving thing was more self-serving rather than, you know, serving of all of humanity. And so I still, my priority in life is to have fun, but now it's fun in service to not only myself, but to all of humanity. And that's, it's a type of fun that is more associated with joy. And joy is just a fantastic emotion to experience and get to that point every day.
Do you give to the idea that at this particular time we are in the end times, and that there's a build-up towards that change in the universe, that there is a great awakening going on, of which I would suggest you're obviously part?
Mike, I totally subscribe to that theory. I know that we are in a period of humanity where we are going through a transition period, and we're going to come out the other side in a much different society and a way of living than we currently are right now. And this is not the first time that this has happened to humanity. There's one of my mentors is a woman named Jean Houston. And she wrote a book about this called Jump Time, and it really explains how this happens. What happens is, you know, humanity reaches a critical mass, and then all of a sudden we make this kind of exponential jump in consciousness that takes us to another way of living and thinking on planet Earth. And, you know, probably the easiest analogy to see that is you know, just a few hundred years ago, everybody on Earth thought that the Earth was flat. And until the navigators and astronomers, you know, proved that basically we lived on a round planet. And once that happened, you know, the shift happened very quickly. Like within 5 years or so, everybody believed that the Earth was round. So when these big things happen, you know, it doesn't take forever. When the truth kind of takes over, that it happens in a very short period of time, and I'm of the philosophy that within our lifetimes we are going to see a shift in humanity, And it's gonna be a shift in consciousness that'll take us away from this idea of separation and fear and into the idea of love and oneness and serving all of humanity and serving planet Earth. You know, I mean, we've been pretty rough on the planet here, so there's going to be lots of shifts. And you know, every huge shift like this requires a traumatic change period. And that's what we're kind of going through now. You know, another one of my huge mentors is a gal named Barbara Marks Hubbard, and she's a futurist. And I listened to a lecture she gave once, and she was talking about how this, you know, trauma that we're going through now on planet Earth is kind of like a rebirthing. You know, yeah. we're birthing ourselves into a new way of living, and so you have to go through this trauma to get to the birthing cycle. And I thought that was a tremendous analogy, and I just love the way she put it. It just made so much sense, and it explains a lot of the turmoil that's going on the planet right now.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I totally believe in what you've said there. And, of course, it's in complete accord and harmony with many other sources. It is surprising when you look around how many people are giving out a very similar message at this time.
Yes.
Indeed, saying that time is relatively short if you want to stop your sleepwalking.
Yes. Well, you know, you should wake up from sleepwalking just because it's so much more fun.
It's easier, I think, yes.
You know, part of this, too, is, you know, the conversation with God books, the God character does talk about, you know, we are no longer in the period of the single avatar. Now we have many messengers because that's what's required right now. So
yes.
There's many messengers with the same message. Mike, you're one of them, and I'm one of them. And there's, you know, we're all talking about ways to wake up to ourselves, to understand the true nature of our beingness, and to really explore, you know, this wonderful thing that we are, this mind, body, spirit, being that we all are, and tap into that spirit side of your beingness and use it. Because, you know, we've all been conditioned to kind of ignore our spirit since birth. We kind of think of ourselves as a body with a mind. And when you bring your spirit into balance with your beingness, then all of a sudden you've brought in a tremendous helper in creating the life of your true innermost desires, because your being is the one that can really guide
you. Do you believe that we have guides from the higher realms that follow our lives and at different times inspire us with their wisdom and maybe guide us onto a path which we have already pre-agreed?
Well, you know, I think that we do have a pre-agreement with basically the rest of our oneness, but, you know, we've got a source within us that is a direct link to the source of energy and intelligence that permeates the universe. And it's a perfect guide because it guides you with an unmistakable thing called feeling. So basically, you know, there's two ways you can feel. You either feel good or you feel bad. And so follow those feelings, because when you're feeling good, your inner guide is telling you through your feelings that you are on the path that's in alignment with your inner guide and where you want to go. And when you feel bad, basically that feeling is telling you that you're not really in alignment with where you want to go. And so you should probably drop the thoughts that you're thinking, whatever is making you feel bad, and shift to thoughts that make you feel good. And it's kind of like, you know, going with the stream. You know, don't go upstream. Don't fight the river, the flow of the universe. Go with it, and it'll take you to where you want to go.
Yes.
And it'll do it effortless,
Mike. It also follows that if indeed, which I believe is true, we have karma operating through our lives, it should also help us through those periods when we have necessary experiences that we may otherwise view as unpleasant or the negative type. But again, as you were saying, we have attracted to ourselves to experience.
Yes. we're definitely, continually attracting whatever we're thinking. And here's the key, we have thousands of thoughts that go through our heads all the time. So there's a couple of ways you can think about that. First, you can say, well, maybe I should just monitor all my thoughts, and that's definitely something you can do. There's also a little easier way to do it. Instead of trying to monitor thousands of thoughts every day, it's easier to just to create a vision of where you want to go, and then just keep thinking about that one thought, that one vision. And okay. When thoughts come into your head that are in alignment with that vision, go ahead and think them. And if thoughts come into your head that aren't in alignment with that vision, and you get that bad feeling, then drop that thought and go to one that takes you towards your vision. And I find that's the easiest way to create a life that'll take you to what you want to experience, what you want to have in life, things you want to do, whatever you want to be, do, or have. Create a vision that includes those, and then just keep that vision in front of you and keep moving towards it all the time.
Yes, that's a little bit, I think, like the advice that was given in The Secret, was it not?
Absolutely, yes. No, The Secret is a powerful. I love that little movie,
Yeah. Now, I had an email not very long before the program started from a guy called Joe Toll. He's deaf. But he asked me via his email whether your books were available as a download that his voice synthesizer computer could read. Can you help anyone on that with your books?
You know, I'm making it into an e-book form now, but I don't have it quite yet. But I should have an e-book available in about a week. But right now, all there is the hard book, which you can order through the Nuts and Bolts Spirituality website. And you can order it at richardblackstone.com also. So I am working on that, Mike, and I'm also putting together a audio book. Because I know a lot of people like to listen to books on tape and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So actually, I have it recorded. And I'm making the CDs right now, and those should be available in a week or two also. So, the more because we have so much information, I kind of like listening to CDs myself. But, when I'm driving, I pop in a motivational tape almost all the time, and I just really like, keeping my thoughts in the direction of where I really want to go. And, those kind of affirmations, they just keep you motivated all the time.
Now, I know from your CV that you are an international speaker, but do you actually run workshops at all based on your aims here?
Well, I do, but, right now I live on the west coast of the United States, and I've been mainly doing workshops on the West Coast here, kind of up and down California, Oregon, and Washington. but once again, life has changed, and I've put in my big master plan is to do more extensive workshops, and also I'm creating an online workshop that will be like a teleseminar type workshop. That will be on my website in the next couple of weeks, and I'm really excited about that because, the beauty of teleseminars, just like these radio interviews, is you can reach a lot of people and very inexpensively, and it's a great way to really help people, a lot more people, and that's what the message is about. It's the message, not the messenger.
Are they one-day workshops?
Basically, it's going to be a five-week teleseminar series, and because my book is in five sections, and so each week will be a different section, and it's going to really be all-inclusive. And I'm pretty excited about it because, you know, I can't tell the whole story like in an hour or so.
Section,
you know, is just jam-packed. And, you know, I'll have like 2 hours for each session. So it'll be like 10 hours of instruction. And it's really inclusive and goes through, you know, the whole, the book is fairly extensive concerning the concepts and spirituality and stuff. In fact, let's see. The five sections, I'll just go through it here. Part one is called The Two Theories of the Universe. And I explained a little bit about that, but, you know, I really go into detail about the dualistic universe and our role in which belief system we believe in. Part two is called The Power of Creation, and obviously this is one of my favorite subjects, and I really go extensively into the creative process and how you can create the life of your dreams. Part three is The Necessity of Awareness, and this is powerful, very powerful. Go into spiritual concepts like awareness, choice and consequence, judging and acceptance, and then into the ego and the sacred self. So really, really neat material. A lot of great thinking in here.
Yeah.
And part four is connecting with the universe. And I talk a lot about unconditional love, connecting with your source, and, of course, this concept called gratitude and the idea of oneness. So there's a lot of information there. And then the last part, part five, is called The World Needs You Now. And this part I am so excited about because it's exactly what we're talking about today, Mike. You know, everyone listen to this. You are part of the revolution that is going on, and we need you right now. And I'm really excited about this whole spiritual revolution that we're all involved in. It's real grassroots, you know. I mean,
yes.
You're not going to see it on the nightly news. You know, the government doesn't talk about it because they don't even know about it.
Right.
So we are the you know, the frontline leaders in this, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the beauty of it, really, Richard, that this movement towards these necessary changes comprises of literally millions of souls all contributing their own bit and making the changes manifest.
Absolutely. It's millions of people, and it's all over the world, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the kind of beauty of, like, the Internet and everything. You know, it really is bringing us together as a global family, and it's so exciting to me. You know, my books go out, you know, all over the world. It's like, wow, this is so neat. You know,
yeah.
It really does prove that, you know, we're all one, and the more we connect like that, it just makes me more excited to know that is so true.
Yeah. Now, just to put another feather in your cap, how did you come to be, to get your award from ConsciousOne.com as America's Next Top Author?
Yeah.
How did you qualify for that?
Well, I tell you, that was exciting, you know. I just love ConsciousOne.com. It's one of the best spiritual empowerment type of websites on the web, and so I subscribed to them, and they put out a contest a few years back and asked if I wanted to submit my book, and I was just so excited I couldn't wait to get it in, and so I submitted it, and within a few weeks they had chosen mine and nine others. It was 10 of us in the final running, and then I was awarded this award, America's Next Top Author, and I was like, wow. It just proved to me that the universe says, you know, the message is important, so we need to get it out there. And so quite an exciting
Am I correct in thinking that you have obviously the one book that you've mentioned, Nuts and Bolts Spirituality?
Yes.
But is there a second, apart from your e-book?
You know, actually, I've got three other books written, Mike. They're sitting on the shelf here.
Oh, tell us about them then, yeah.
Yeah, well, one of them is called, about 3 years ago, I went on this quest to get total wellness, and it was just a fascinating journey. And during that year, I just found all kinds of ways to really connect my mind, body, and spirit in a very balanced way. And so I got real healthy in my body, my mind. I just cleared a lot of trash out of there. And my spirit, I really focused on getting my spirit into balance with my beingness. And out of that, I just was so excited that I wrote this book called Spirit Diet. And it really tells
really
about how we can, you know, heal ourselves, you know, because we are our own doctor. I mean,
yeah.
We have the healing power of the universe, and when you know how to tap into it, you don't need a lot of pills and stuff. So it's really an exciting book to me, and I can't wait to get that one out. And then I wrote another book that's just about ready for publication. It's called Life as a Process. It goes deeply into many of the principles of creating your life. And so that's pretty exciting because that one's that should be out by the end of the year. And then this book that I'm proofreading right now, it is really hot. I love it. It's got me all excited. It makes me want to put it out next. But it's called An Idea Whose Time Has Come.
Oh,
and you know, do you know Victor Hugo? He made a quote several years ago, and he said, "There is no army so strong that can defeat an idea whose time has come." And in the book, of course, I have this idea whose time has come that is going to transform the world. And of course, the idea, I'll let you all in on it, is this concept that we are all one. Because right now, the world lives within a belief system that says we're all separate from each other. And the natural consequence of that separation mentality has caused us to kill our fellow human beings, to really reap havoc on this planet that sustains our very lives, and actually to separate us from the source of our existence, the source of all the well-being that flows through us continuously. And
yeah.
So the idea that whose time has come is this idea that we really are all one, and when you embrace that, then you begin to see life from a love-based paradigm instead of a fear-based paradigm, and it just transforms your life.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited about that book, too.
If someone was approaching your work for the first time, would you suggest that they start with your new book, Nuts and Bolts Spirituality?
Absolutely. Yeah, this book... has the power to really, somebody that's seeking clarity on the spiritual path, Nuts and Bolts really goes in depth on spiritual concepts and also logical reasoning why we do the things we do, and also some real powerful tools on how you can start transforming your life right now. And so I would highly recommend Nuts and Bolts as a primer, you know, to get you on the spiritual path. And if you are on your spiritual path, then there's just a ton of tools in there to, you know, jump you forward. And I'm really proud of it.
Right.
In fact,
are the details of these other books you've mentioned on or going to appear on your main site, which is under your own name?
Yes. You know, that my main site, of course, is richardblackstone.com, and that's always a work in progress. Anybody that knows about websites and stuff, you know, you're always trying to improve, and so I've gone through a few evolutions there, but I continually am trying to improve that site because it is like my main website. So... lots more to come there.
Right. If you could give our listeners one particular message at this time, what would it be?
Mike, if the readers or your listeners take nothing away from this program, I would want them to take this one thing that I'm going to tell them right now. That it, and it's this is this has to be like one of the main priorities in your life, and when I prioritize it in my life, it transformed my life. And here's what it is. Basically, I want you to love yourself unconditionally. And that means when you look in the mirror, I want you to look at yourself and know that you are this fantastic, magnificent being. No matter what the mirror tells you, you are this beautiful, wonderful being that is basically unconditional love. And the only way that you're going to tap into your true, authentic power is for you to first love yourself unconditionally before you do anything else. You know, you can't go out into the world and create love unless you have love inside of you. And believe me, I don't care who you are, you are an unbelievably magnificent person. Tap into that magnificence because it is there. Know that it's there. And you know, the law of attraction tells us that you bring into your life that which you put your attention on. So put your attention on this one concept, and that is loving yourself unconditionally. That means no conditions. There's no buts. That means you just love yourself no matter if you're 20 pounds overweight, no matter if you've got diabetes, no matter what. Because that very fact, this idea of loving yourself unconditionally, is going to let the flow of well-being that the universe is constantly pushing through you, it'll cure your illnesses, it'll make you lose weight, it'll make you look better, it'll lose your wrinkles. There is nothing more powerful than love. And so that's my biggie. When I did that to myself, my life just transformed. And you feel so darn good because there's no feeling better than joy. And that's what loving yourself unconditionally will do for you every day. Every day you're going to feel joy. Yeah. So that's
I think that's a really wonderful message.
Oh, man.
I appreciate you having given us that one.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
Over your life so far since you, that we say, started this awakening process, is there any particular moment that is really etched in your memory that has a lot to do with your development?
Yes, there is, actually. And I remember this specifically. It was kind of a synchronistic event. But I was at this little restaurant where I used to eat breakfast three or four times a week, and I always read this our local newspaper. Well, this one morning it wasn't there. The only paper there was the state newspaper, the Oregonian. And so I picked it up and read the story on the front page. And here's the synchronistic part. You know, I've never read the Oregonian since that day. And I hardly ever read it before that day. But there was a story on there about Neil Donald Walsh, about how he had written this book called Conversation with God. And, of course, you know, I'd never heard of Neil Donald Walsh, but I really liked the story because, you know, by that time I was on my spiritual path. So I read this story, but I kind of forgot about it. But, you know, later that morning, I was at Costco, and I walked straight to the book section. I walked straight to this book called Conversation with God, Book 1. And, of course, I had to buy it. And I took it home, started reading it that night. And on page 20, I read the God character said this, and this just transformed my life. He said, "You're not here to discover your life or learn about things. You are here to create your life."
Right.
And that just blew me away. I mean, I can still picture myself on the bed when I read that. I just kind of sat up, and I knew it was true. You know, Mike, how it is? You know, it just resonated with me so hard. And so I told myself in that moment, I says, you know, I know this is true. And from now on, I am going to consciously create my life as I want it to be. And that's when I really got on the path of conscious creation and I've never looked back.
Well, that is a fantastic thought to leave us with, Richard, and I'll have to thank you for being such a good guest on the program.
Well, thank you, Mike.
It's enjoyable to hear you speaking. I'll have to close the program now, a few minutes before the end, so perhaps in the near future we might have you back again and find out how things have progressed with your new book.
I would love to, Mike.
Thank you for being with us, Richard.
I really appreciate you having me on here. Thanks again.
You were very welcome. Well, my friends, that was an interesting interview. I'll just tell you very quickly that next week my guest will be Michelle Moravati. She is an intuitive spiritual healer, teacher and writer, founder of the Spirituality Inside and Out, a healing and education practice, and she is certified in Reiki and Pranic Healing and is a certified master practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming and a master timeline therapist and master hypnotherapist. So goodness knows what she does in her spare time. I hope you'll be with me next week, and thank you for being with me for this program. God bless you all.